You know, we live in a time, in a season where things are temporary. And what I mean by that is think about our fast food. You know, we want it now, we want it quick. Everything that we do is built around speed and it changes. Our trends, the things that we like today, we won't like tomorrow. Technology is moving at the speed of technology. It's just moving fast. Popularity, you could be popular in high school, then you get to college, you're nobody. Then you find out things change. Emotions, conveniences, all of these things are temporary. And we replace things constantly. How many of you have the newest phone? How many have the same phone that you had 20 years ago? See, okay, Carlton, maybe. All right. We replace our phones. We replace our cars. We replace our jobs. We even sadly replace our relationships. Nothing seems to be permanent anymore. And sometimes it causes us to ask, is love even supposed to last forever? You know, happily ever after, or love ever after. And the book that we have been studying, the Song of Solomon, it resoundingly sounds the call, yes, lasting covenant love is forever. It answers that. It doesn't say it's a perfect love. It doesn't say it's an easy love. It says it is a covenant and constant love. And one of the clearest signs, I think, of getting older is sometimes young people will come up and say, how long have y'all been married? And Margie and I have been married 43 years this year. 43 years. And they say, wow, how do y'all stay together that long? Besides the drugs, no, I mean, what you want to say sometimes is mostly just by not killing each other. Because if you've ever had like something from IKEA or something that was shipped from China and you got to try to put it together and it just comes with pictures and the pictures never, and you're sitting there trying to put furniture and stuff together, you could likely kill each other in a heartbeat. But you find out after 43 years, you find out after 43 months, you find out after 43 days, you find out after 43 seconds that it takes more than just a feeling. It takes more than just emotion. It takes perseverance. It's not built on perfect moments. It's built on a thousand of ordinary decisions made day after day after day after day after day. And so the Song of Solomon, we're going to close it today with, I think, one of the most beautiful descriptions of a covenant love. And it's in chapter 8. And if you'll go ahead and turn there for me, we're going to be in verses 6 through verse 7. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy as fierce as the grave. It flashes the flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In that section right there, there are four main points, and I kind of highlighted them in my Bible and put it out to the side so you can do this too. And I can make it real short. I could just read this to you and then we could go, but I'm not going to do that. I let you out early last week. I'm going to keep you a lot longer this week. Not really. The first thing I want us to understand is the idea of lasting love. The idea of lasting love has to be rooted in commitment. That's why when a husband and wife stand before a minister and in front of their family and friends, and they make a covenant commitment to each other, to love each other in sickness and in health, rich or poor, for better, for worse, they are making a commitment to each other. The problem is we live in a time where commitment doesn't seem to have the same value. Look at the verse where it says there, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. the ancient world, a seal represented everything. It represented ownership. It represented identity, authority. It was something that would last. I'm going to seal it. You can seal that. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You can count on that. And it is a commitment. It's a covenant language. Basically, the woman is saying here, hold me close. Don't let me go. Let this love stay permanent. Don't treat this relationship casually. There has to be commitment there. Lasting love, it requires much more than emotion. I know oftentimes we think we're in love, but we may be in lust. It may be their eyes. It may be their hair. It may be something about them that just draws us in. And we're thinking like, oh, I am so in love with you. When you're really not in love with them, you are in lust with them. You're lusting after something, something that they have, something that catches your eye, and you want that. But the idea of lasting love, it requires much more than that emotion, because our feelings are going to fluctuate. Commitment is what stabilizes relationships. Modern culture often defines its love primarily through its feelings. I mean, you can see that. You see it in our television shows. You see it in the way people respond to one another. If I feel in love, I'm going to stay. If that feeling fades, I'm going to go find something else that I'm going to be in love with. When we realize you're not in love, you're just in lust. You're in lust with that new car. You're in lust with that new person. You're in lust with something. You're not in love. But biblical love says, I remain faithful even when the emotions change. When Jesus looked at Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. He says, I'm going to go and do this. And Peter says, no, you're not going to go do this. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. His feeling wasn't that, hey, Peter, I don't love you anymore. Just get out of my way. It wasn't that at all. He was making a point that I still love you. When he was denied by Peter from the cross, what did he do? He went out soon, and he cooked breakfast for Peter, and he invited him in, and he said, Peter, do you love me? And he goes, you know I love you. And he says, well, then go feed my sheep. That love, that commitment was always there. Strong relationships are not built just on passion. You can be passionate about a million things. They're built on perseverance. Anybody can love temporarily. Lasting love requires faithfulness. Every marriage eventually faces moments where commitment is going to matter more than your emotion. There's going to be stressful moments. There are going to be financial strains. There are going to be sicknesses. There's going to be exhaustion. There's going to be disappointment. Heck, you're going to have kids, you know. There's going to be misunderstanding. And in those moments, it's covenant that's what carries you through. And there's a spiritual parallel there. And it reflects God's covenant with us. God's love isn't fragile. It isn't temporary. Scripture repeatedly says these things about him. His love is steadfast. His love is faithful. His love is enduring. His love is unchanging. Even when we struggle, even when we feel far apart from God, his love remains secure. And the strongest relationships, whether it's your friends, whether it's your children and family, whether it's your spouse, steadfast, it has to be built quietly over years of showing up, forgiving, sacrificing, praying, staying faithful, and choosing each other repeatedly. Not what you get out of it, it's what you're putting into it. Lasting love has to be rooted in commitment. The second thing that I marked in here, it says, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as fierce as the grave. Lasting love is powerful. It's powerful. The Hebrew word hesed is a covenant love that God has for us that oversees everything. You can't even describe it. Death is one of the strongest realities we as humans will ever know. They say 100% of us that are born are going to die. Every single one of us. Scripture says that real love carries that same kind of tremendous power. And biblical love, as we study God's word, changes people. It changes people. Healthy love provides security, encouragement, healing, strength, resilience. Even when you're not at your best, covenant love will carry you through. And people flourish where this kind of faithful love will exist. One reason I think relational wounds hurt us so deeply is because love is so powerful, it makes us vulnerable and transparent and open. And so when somebody says something that really crushes us, when a child looks at us and says, I don't want anything to do with you, I hate you, and it breaks our heart, it does so because we love so deeply. When a loved one passes away that we have spent a lifetime with, it hurts so deeply because that love endured. Can you imagine God sitting on his throne and how we must break his heart moment after moment, day after day after day, and yet he still loves us? It's a covenant love. I'm never going to give up on you. We look at the story of the prodigal son. You know, it was never really called the prodigal son. Jesus didn't even put the focus on the son. The focus was really on the father. And the father waited patiently. And when the kid came back after spending all the money and wasting all these things and saying the things that he said to his father, when he came back, his dad stopped him from saying, hey, don't even tell me you're going to be my servant. You're my son. Here's a new robe. Here's a ring. I'm going to throw you a party. In other words, I'm going to celebrate because once one that was lost is now found. And that's that covenant love. It's lasting and it's powerful. And I find out sometimes the deeper the love, it's going to be the deeper the impact. And sometimes you open yourself up to have the deeper hurt. In our marriages, strong covenant love creates stability during difficult season. In other words, our spouses can look to each other and say, I'm going through a hard time. I tell couples when I marry them, you know, everybody says, well, it's 50-50, you know. It's never 50-50. I may come in after a hard day and I'm only 10. I need Margie to be 90. And she'll step up and be 90. Oftentimes Margie will come in and she's like at 20. I have to be 80. You're never 50-50. And yet I do know some relationships where they say like, well, you had your time, I get my time. You had your weekend, I get my weekend. Covenant love doesn't work on a barter system. It is ongoing. It is constant. It is not temporary. And it remains. Ultimately, switching it over to a spiritual connection, ultimately the strongest display of covenant love in history is the cross, where Jesus demonstrated love that was stronger than death itself. Death couldn't defeat covenant love. And from the cross, as he was being brutally murdered, spit upon, cursed, abandoned, rejected, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them. Not out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of love, because we didn't know what we were doing. The world often portrays love oftentimes as something fragile. You know, you got to hold on to it. You got to embrace it. You got to do all these things. But real covenant love becomes stronger over time because it survives those strong storms and seasons. The third thing that I've marked here is a lasting love is going to survive floods. And we talked about this last week about the storms. It says this, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. Anyone can love when it's easy. Vacations, you know, when you're sitting on the beach and you're just hanging out and sipping Mai Tais or whatever you do on the beach. I don't know. When I go on the beach, you know, like Teresa West said to me this week, and I know I'm going down a Paul rabbit hole, but y'all go with me. I was wearing shorts. And so I was coming around the church, and she was out in the back parking lot, and she said, "Lord have mercy, where'd you get those white legs?" And if y'all have ever seen my legs, I'm wearing, they're whiter than these khaki pants I'm wearing. Anyway, I said, "Well, you know, that's my Ohio tan, you know, because I'm originally from Ohio, and my legs are pretty white. They're pretty, so white that it's blinding her, I guess." And she goes, "Well, I'm from Michigan." And I said, "Well, Teresa, your tan's a lot darker than mine." But it was like, "I'm sorry, I got white legs." But when you're on, so when I'm on the beach, I just burn. But I don't care what you do on the beach. But it's easy to be in a good mood and love when you're on the beach, when things are going well. You know, when you're on an emotional high. You know, it's easy to love, but enduring love survives the hospital rooms. Your enduring love is going to survive financial hardships that you find yourself in. Your enduring love, those sleepless nights when you're worried about your kids or when you're worried about other things, when there's conflict in your relationship, when there are seasons of weakness, when during temptation, whatever you're being hit with that's causing weakness, covenant love and enduring love is going to survive that. Some couples, when they reach a point where they reach a hard season, sometimes they look at each other and say, "I don't even like you anymore." It's like, "Well, I don't like you either." And so what do? They leave. But difficult seasons are often when our love actually matures and becomes deeper. Faithful love is made stronger with endurance. And that's true spiritually for us as well. In your Christian walk, in your time with God, you're going to find yourself in hills and valleys. You're going to face suffering. "God, why did you let this happen?" You're going to face doubt. "God, are you even there?" You're going to face loss. "God, why did you take him?" You're going to face persecution. "I can't believe you even believe that." You're going to face discouragement. "How come everybody else won't come and join me in my Bible study?" Yet God's love remains secure. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 38. He goes, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, not death. God's covenant love will remain." I tell couples that are getting married, it's very easy to have a great wedding. In fact, they make a big business out of it. When Margie and I got married, we had a ceremony, and then we went to the fellowship hall afterwards, and our reception looked like this. There was a table over here that had butter mints, cheese straws, and nuts, and a punch bowl. That's all you got. Now it's tens of thousands of dollars, and you got to feed people that you don't like, you don't know, and they just show up to find out what's going on. We had an old lady playing the piano over in the corner. That was the music. We didn't have a DJ. The only dancing we did was trying to dance and get out of there so we could start the honeymoon. Hey, my mom taught me not to lie, so I'm just being honest with y'all there. A wedding ceremony and that reception just lasts a brief time, and it's very easy to have a great one. But a marriage, to have a great marriage, it's built over decades of ordinary walking every single day faithfully. Lasting love is formed in everyday moments that no one applauds and says, "Ooh, what a chocolate fountain," or whatever you had at your wedding. The last thing that I had, my point, is the end of verse 7. Lasting love, you can't purchase lasting love. "If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised." You can't buy real love. Culture often confuses love with success, with gifts, appearance, status, materialism, but covenant love measures at something else. It can't be manufactured by your possessions. Do you love me? Well, I bought you jewelry. No, do you love me? I bought you a new car. Do you love me? Look, I put food on the table for you every single day. Of course I love you. That's not saying you love them. That's just material things that you would give to anybody. You cannot purchase these things. Trust, faithfulness, intimacy, loyalty, genuine affection for one another. Those are the lasting covenantal things that you have to have with one another. And we do that not just in our marriages. We do that with our kids. Oh, man, I'll buy you another toy if you just shut up, you know? No, it's the love. Oftentimes, we laugh about this. We would try to get my kids whatever the latest thing that came out. You know, when Xbox first came out, you couldn't get them anywhere, right? But since I was a teacher in high school, I had a student that actually worked at the place at the mall that sold all that stuff. He goes, "Mr. Cook, we got some in." I said, "Put one away for me." He did. And I went over there. And when you buy like a new gaming system or you buy something and it's the first one out, you're paying three times as much as you. If you just wait, you won't have to pay that much. And so I would get things like that. You know what? They don't even know. Your kids won't even remember the cost of what you bought them. They won't remember. Oftentimes when they were little, they played with the box more than they played with the toy that came in the box. What they want is your presence. What they want is your time. What they want is for you to make them feel secure and wanted and loved. And that's what God is saying to us, that He wants us. Oh, He wants to bless you. He wants to give you good things. That's what it says in the scriptures. But what He really wants is a relationship with us. Relationships oftentimes suffer because we substitute providing things or provision when all they really want is our presence. And providing financially, it does matter, but people also need attention, they need affection, they need time, they need this emotional connection. Our salvation cannot be purchased. You can't give enough tithes and offerings to get God to love you anymore. You cannot say like, "Look, I'm going to go feed the homeless. I'm going to do all these things that you said to do, God, because I want you to save me." He already does that. Salvation isn't earned through wealth or performance. And the cross reminds us that love was given freely for you and for me. The Song of Solomon that we have been studying over the last 6 weeks points us toward the greatest covenant love, and that's Jesus and the church. Jesus loved us sacrificially, He loved us faithfully, and He loved us permanently. At the cross, He sealed that covenant, and again, that seal meant it's over. It is sealed love through His blood. And because of the resurrection, His love truly proved that His covenant love is stronger even than death. And today, our world needs examples of enduring love. Not perfect people. It doesn't need perfect people. It needs faithful people. People that will stand in the gap. People that will intercede. People that will come alongside. People who stay, people who forgive, people who sacrifice, who honor covenant. And so I want you to ask yourself this question this morning, or these questions. Am I building lasting love intentionally? Am I being intentional about loving others? It's in our mission statement, love God. Love others, and then make disciples. And in order to make disciples, you've got to love them. Ask yourself, have I become maybe careless with my covenant? Ask yourself, am I remaining faithful when the going gets tough? Or am I just ready to pull the plug and leave? Or ask yourself, does my life reflect Christ's steadfast love? The Song of Solomon reminds us that love is not merely an emotion. And as you read through there, there was a lot of emotion and stuff going on. What it is, it's pursuit. It's commitment. It's wisdom. It's endurance. Every healthy earthly love, every love story, everything ultimately points toward the faithful love of Christ. I said healthy earthly love. He was the bridegroom that pursued us, his bride. He redeemed us, and he remains faithful forever. Father, I thank you for your faithful love. I thank you for the word that you have spoken to us through this short book. Father, I pray that you would teach us to love with endurance and grace and faithfulness. Father, that you would strengthen marriages and families, that you would heal wounded hearts. And Father, that you would help us reflect the covenant love of Jesus in every season of our life. And it's in his name, his mighty name, that we pray. Amen.